when we let the peace of Jesus Christ live within us. And there are many encouraging verses in the Bible. I would like for you to join with me today in reading these verses of Jesus and peace. And the first one I want to read is actually a prophecy about Jesus in Psalm 118 and verse 22. Psalm 118 This is quoted in the New Testament. I want to read verse 22 to begin with. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now that is mentioned in the New Testament as being a prophecy of Jesus. This Psalm 118 is a prophecy that is dual. Whoever the psalmist was that wrote it, we don't know of this particular psalm who wrote it. But it says that it's about Jesus right there. We know that because the New Testament says that that verse, verse 22, is about Jesus. I want to go back now to verse 6 and read verse 6. Now here is the thought of Jesus Christ. This psalm contains the thoughts of that stone which the builders rejected. And here's his thought in verse 6. The Lord, or Yahweh, the Eternal, or the Creator, it could be, creation, or existence. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. You know, to cast all fear out of ourselves. What a wonderful gift it is to have no fear. I occasionally have fear. Not fear of dying. I had on the way home from Nigeria last time, I couldn't find my passport. I was perspiring. I was afraid I was going to have to stay over another night, and I was so ready to get on the plane. So that's not a major fear. But, you know, my fears are basically not about death, but people who are in pain or suffering or something like that. Those are fears that I have to put people in God's hands. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, these are the thoughts of Jesus. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, that's quoted in the New Testament, and we will read it later. But in the New Testament, it's applied not to Jesus, but to us. Where it says that we should be the same way. The Lord is on our side. What can man do to us? I'm not going to fear. And then another, turn to Psalm 94 in verse 19. Psalm 94 and verse 19. Now, obviously, God is not telling us that we should never be anxious about anything. We should never have fear. We should never have problems. We should always be totally at peace and calm. And David wasn't totally at peace and always calm. Jesus prayed to where he perspired like great drops of blood. That's anxiety. So all of us have anxiety. It's like temptation. It's not that we will never be tempted. It's that we'll overcome the temptation. It's not that we'll never have anxiety. It is that through Jesus, we're able to conquer and calm the anxiety. Because look what it says here. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. I think that's encouraging. In the multitude of my anxieties, multitude, worries, troubles, health, attitudes, your comforts delight my soul. We have to take those anxieties to God. I've mentioned one time we were in Virginia, lived in Richmond, and I was many, many miles west of Virginia, probably about 2 hour, 2.5 hour drive, visiting a man who was unable to attend church, living way out there, and he had a sickness. I don't remember what it is now, but he asked me to anoint him. His wife was not a member, very antagonistic, and she just was ridiculing us as I was anointing him. So on the way home, I'm just thinking, God, you've got to heal him. And then I realized, you know, my hands were hurting because I was squeezing the steering wheel so hard. And I had to stop. You know, you let your hands go and you feel the pain. And I said, I just said, Father, he belongs to you. It's your honor and your glory and your name. I give him to you. And I just felt peace and relief and release. But that was an anxiety that I had, that I had to give to God. Now, here's a psalm that I don't read a lot. I don't know that I've ever read this psalm fully through, Psalm 23. I don't know that I've ever read it fully through in a sermon. It's so well known, it almost seems superfluous to read it. Although I have read it, when I go over to see Valley Hawkins in a nursing home, she must be about 92 or 3 now, and I read it to her. She can't read anymore, but I read it to her. And every time I go, I read Psalm 23, and pretty much Psalm 1 and some other verses of comfort that I read to her. And she never says, well, you read that last time, because she doesn't remember. She's gotten to where she just does not remember, so it's comforting to her. By the way, Mom had 3 parties, because not everybody could be there on her birthday. But I don't know if she remembered the first parties when we were there, but she enjoyed the day. She may not right now remember that we were there, but she enjoyed the day, and she did recognize us. So, she's wonderful. Wonderful lady. Doesn't have Alzheimer's, but she's got a very small world, and she's forgetful. But the same thing with Valley. I read this to her, and she appreciates it every time. She may forget it, but she enjoyed it while I read it to her. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, I didn't understand this as a boy. I thought, I shall not want. There are a lot of things I want. What's wrong with wanting? You know, do I not want him? The Lord's my shepherd that I don't want him? Yeah, I didn't understand it, but it That's not what it means. It says, God's going to take care of what I need. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. This is a psalm of David. This one is marked. It's in the Hebrew. And it's not only of David, but David was a type of the Messiah who was to come out of him. And many of the psalms that David spoke of himself, there were prophecies of the Messiah in there. So even Jesus Christ went through the valley of the shadow of death, didn't he? But he came out 3 days later. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. That's interesting. That David, you and I, all need our soul restored occasionally. Sometimes we get anxious and depressed, unhappy, miserable, upset. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, I don't understand that to mean that I won't die. Everybody we read of in the Bible, other than God, has died. Jesus died, but He came out. So Jesus said, don't even fear people who can kill you. Don't fear people who all they can do is kill the body. He's not saying that Christians won't die or be killed. But though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And this will occur to Jesus Christ when He returns. And for those who are invited to the supper for the bride, You anoint my head with oil. Jesus is the anointed one. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Doesn't mean David never had a problem or that Jesus never had a problem. But here's the point. He's talking about the resurrection and eternal life eventually, because notice what it says. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When is that going to be? The rest of the verse tells us. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When are we going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Well, starting right now, we are part of the household of God. But isn't that the promise of living eternal life in God's kingdom? Being part of the temple, pillars in the temple, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Let's turn to Luke 12, verses 4 through 7. I'm sure it would be very frightening to be led off to execution, as Jesus was, as Paul was, as Peter was, James, John the Baptist. And we would certainly need comfort. It would be frightening, you know, that it's going to be over and you're going to be in God's kingdom. But still, we're really attached to all these bodies we're in, aren't we? We don't want to hurt. Luke 12, beginning in verse 4. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. That's a tall order. Jesus had to go through it. And after that, have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into Gehenna, is the Greek word, the lake of fire. Yes, I say to you, fear him. I would guess so. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Some of us have done our part to make it easy for God to number our hairs on our head. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Not to be afraid. That is a tall order, but it's one that through Jesus had to go through it. Many Christians have had to go through it. And you're going to die anyway. So he said, don't fear that. Verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't fear. God wants us to look to the kingdom where we live forever. In John 14, verse 27. John 14 and verse 27. Now in the world there are people who have peace. Most of the time they have peace when everything is going well. They maybe have a good job. They won the lottery. They married the person they wanted to marry. Their health is good. Children are making good grades. Everything just is very nice. And then they can have some peace. But here in John 14 and verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. That's the peace we need. Now here he was knowing. He said this, and this is, we're going to repeat this. This will probably be read on Passover night. This is part of what Jesus said after they had the bread and wine and foot washing. And what we see in the rest of chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. 17 is basically a prayer, but all of those are words that he spoke that night. Knowing he was going to be crucified the next day. And knowing he was going to be crucified the next day, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. The peace that the world gives is peace when everything is peaceful outside. Then you can have peace inside. But that's not the peace that Jesus Christ gives. He gives peace when he knew he was going to be crucified the next day. As the old saying is, nothing concentrates the mind like the prospect of a hanging. Let not your heart be troubled. That's where the peace has to be. Isn't that correct? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now that takes a little work and a little time and some prayer and meditation. John 16 and verse 33. Now here he tells us we can have peace even when there are troubles on the outside. John 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In me, not in the bank account, the job, the marriage. Going well, that would be nice. Everybody loving us, that would be nice. That you may have peace. But then he says, in the world, you will have tribulation. So in me, you'll have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and he can overcome the world in us, that we can do it. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 5. And here is where he is going to quote the Old Testament. And one of the quotes is the one that we read of back in Psalm 118, verse 6. But we'll start in verse 5. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now that, he's applying that to us. But actually it was Moses who said to Israel that God will never leave you or forsake you before Moses died, if you stay with God. And then he said to Joshua, he will never leave you nor forsake you. And then in the book of Joshua, after Moses was dead, God came personally to Joshua, chapter 1, verse 5, and said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But here in Hebrews, it tells us that applies to us too. We can forsake God, but he will never leave or forsake us. You know, that's the promise that we're supposed to make to our wives when we get married. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And now verse 6. So we may boldly say, and this is the quote from Psalm 118, verse 6 that we read. The Lord is my helper. Now notice, not just Jesus, it was a psalm about the Messiah. The chief cornerstone. Stone that was rejected becomes chief cornerstone. It was a psalm about Jesus. But we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So we can all say that. We worry about what human beings can do, what they can say about us. We all worry about that. But we can put it aside and say, the Lord is my helper. They can kill us, but they can't keep us out of the kingdom. They cannot separate us from the love of God. What shall separate us from the love of God? I will not fear. What can man do to me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. First Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. It's a long sentence, and what I want to get to is a little further down. So I'm going to start in verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elder, your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So we have to look for what's coming. But here is the verse that is very comforting, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And that is what you and I have to do on a regular basis. How often have I cast a problem on God and get up the next morning and after a while realize it's on my back again? There it is. And have to go and cast it to him. And then a little later find it's worked its way back into my mind and on my back is burdening me down and I feel depressed. And I have to go to God and give the problem to him again and cast my care upon him and say, this is your problem. For he cares for you. Verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What does Satan want to give us? Discouragement. Fear. Depression. Stress. Verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. He's not saying we won't have troubles. That there won't be suffering. Verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory, same as the sermon last week, glory to be revealed in the children of God, called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. I don't like to suffer. I'm such a coward when it comes to pain. And a lot of you have told me the same thing. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Settle you. There's a nice word. Settle down. Sometimes it takes God to help us to settle down. We can't do it on our own. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to also read Psalm 27. This is an encouraging psalm. And I put it near the end. And Figured I'd read it if I had time. And I do have time. Less than 40 minutes so far we've gone. Now this is an encouraging, it's not a painful read. Well, maybe your seats are getting a little painful, but Psalm 27, beginning with verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. That's quite a statement. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. We saw the feast video this last feast. Those people in Rwanda, war and killing all around them. There were some wonderful examples in that feast film of people who went through terrible things with great faith. Verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek. And here's what we are all looking for. Same thing that was mentioned earlier about dwelling in the house of the Lord. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What we read earlier was forever. Forever. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle, His tent. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, a defensive position. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy. Not just sacrifices of animals. Sacrifice of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, and God does say in His word that we are to seek Him. Seek the Lord while He may be found. So we are seeking His face. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. That's through prayer and study. Just coming here today is part of seeking God's face. And seeking His face is not to look at a bright, shiny eyes and nose and mouth. It's to seek what God is thinking and feeling, what His mind is. That comes through His Spirit, that comes through His Word, that comes through prayer. To find what God is like. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Not color of eyes and color of hair and such as that, but you see the mind. It's the mind of God. Verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Now, we've all done things we deserve some anger. And God may have been angry at us, but we ask God to turn that anger away. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. You know, we have had some people whose mothers and fathers have forsaken them. And my parents have forsaken me only in the sense that they died. And Lucretia's father's gone, and her mother has not forsaken her. But mine forsook me only by death. They were, during their life, they never forsook me. But no matter whether we have parents or not, if our mother, and this was poetic, if my mother and father were to do that, when they do, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. Who is this speaking of? Once again, so many of the Psalms of David are Psalms that apply to the Messiah. To David and the Messiah, and often to us. But there were false witnesses who rose against Jesus. And such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then Numbers 6, verse 23 through 26. Numbers 6. Verse 23. Numbers 6, verse 23. Speak to Aaron and his son, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them. And this is what the spiritual children of Israel desire to have said for them. And our high priest is Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.